Your Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Matthew, chapter number 24. Amen. Last week was Mother's Day, and pray mothers had a blessed week. And we had a sermon there last week around Mother's Day. But today, we went to the ark. So today, we're going to preach about Noah. Amen. May preach about him again next Sunday, but amen. We're going to preach today just about the days of Noah, and it tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would anoint us, help us to be an able minister of the Word of God. Speak to our hearts, I pray, and just minister this morning by your word to that we need this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Here, these disciples which were Jewish, and their thinking was revolving around the glorious age of the Messiah on earth. And here in their questioning, they were not thinking about Christ coming for the church. They knew little, if anything, about this phase of His coming. But their expectation was for His coming in power and glory to destroy the enemy and to rule over the world. That was their question. And it tells us here, and it speaks about a few things, how it was in Noah's days. In the days of Noah, life was going on and proceeding, even after Noah began to preach. Amen. It was going on as though the world and the people in the world were floodproof. It just continued. And so today the world goes on and it continues, and the people of this world, for the most part, continue on as though they are fireproof. But let us turn back to the book of Genesis now and read and just point out a few things and see some things here. In Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of men came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, a few things I want to look at here and see this morning, and God help us. And the first thing, I just want to mention this by way, because it's included in this particular portion of Scripture, there in verse 2, where it talks about the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and the question gets often asked, who were these sons of God? Who were these sons? And there are some who hold to the point that these were angels, some, both Jews and Christians alike, that hold to the point that these were angels that were mentioned here in verse 2. However, I don't agree with that particular viewpoint, because I don't believe we need to leave the human race to find in these verses the sons of God. If we read in the book of Deuteronomy, we find there, as it speaks about the Seth line that came in Deuteronomy 14:1, they were called, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. God was telling them that you're God's children, therefore you're different. You're different. You're to be, what's the Bible tell us? Be holy because I am holy. The book of Luke tells us in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, it gives us in the line, it said, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. In Genesis, what we find here, and we'll see as we go here, Genesis is dealing with the human race up to this point, and there's no need, I don't believe, to step outside of that human race. In Matthew, it tells us in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse 30, it speaks of beings as the angels in heaven, and it says, which neither marry nor are given in marriage. There's some that would argue and say, well, in Scripture there's mentioned and it speaks of the angels as the sons of God. As well it does, but amen, all this does is to tell us, the extent of the extended family of God. Because God, created the angels just as He created mankind. And throughout Scripture, man is referred to, as the sons of God. Amen. Just as it does there in Luke chapter 3 and verse number 38. Now, just wanted to mention that because that was in there. And then I want to go down to verse number 3. And I want us to see the window of opportunity. Because what's happening and taking place here, as the Lord said, and my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Man's multiplying on the earth. Man is continuing to multiply. Things getting worse and worse. Sin has entered into this world, and man's multiplying, and what's happening? They're forgetting God. They're going their own way. And so God says that the condition of the world would not continue forever. The evil and the wickedness that was perpetuated by mankind, it had an expiration date. Just this week, my wife handed me something. I said, have we got any of this? And she said, yeah, we got some of it in here. I don't know how old it is. And I looked at it and I said, has it got an expiration date on it? And she says, it does. And I said, what was the expiration date? She said, January of 23. I said, throw it away. We'll try something different. And the evil perpetuated by man in Noah's day had an expiration date. And so does the expiration date of men in this world. Noah preached and he built the ark, and mankind went right on sinning until the waters swept them away. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. When will that day be? What will the hour be when that time comes. The Bible tells us that today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible, we've heard often it speak of that we're not promised of tomorrow. And Noah preached and he built the ark and they mocked and they continued on. What did they continue doing? They continued eating and drinking and being married. They just continued on with life. With no regard for the Word of God, no regard for the preaching of Noah. They just continued on as though all things would continue as they were that day. I heard tale of a story that was told for the truth. But the application was that two young men at a revival meeting as the preacher preached and they sneered and mocked, and even after the service was over, as they made some sly comments toward the minister and they asked their final question to the minister before they jumped in their vehicle and left, is they said, "Well, tell us how far it is to hell." They said within 2 miles of the church, they were involved in an automobile accident and they died. And in that respect, we could say, how far was it? Well, it was less than 2 miles. It was less than 2 miles. There's a reality there that men does not grasp and get a hold of. We're not going to be here forever. I mean, you know, I mentioned about our brother that passed away, that we went to the funeral home just a couple of nights ago. And he was 87 years old. Amen. He was 87 and, you know, for all intents and purposes, lived a good life. And we'd say, well, you know, and because somebody said, well, he had a good life. God blessed him, and he did. But you know, when I was looking through online to look and find a time in his obituary, right above his obituary, there was one of a 4-year-old little boy. See, we don't know. The Bible tells us that today is the day. The window of opportunity is open even now. But see, we see that the distortion of all things in verse number 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." They could be writing this today. I mean, this is where we are. But it's not the first time we've been here. We've seen these things happen throughout history. And this was what was taking place in Noah's day. The distortion of all things, sin, does not take long to spread. I mean, boy, we talk about things that spread. You know, it ain't been too long ago that, you know, they were shutting everything down. They were trying to round up and hem up this thing called COVID, and you know, it's contagious and all. And amen, and it was, but guess what? Sin spreads. It moves quickly because, see, here in Noah's day, it wasn't too long ago that the world was new and vibrant, and now Noah's day, it's old and it groans under the heavy weight of sin. And sin is contagious. We've all got a sin nature. And we all have to be careful about sin. We have to guard our hearts. Listen, we have to be careful when sin enters not just our life, but our family, and things happen with our family. I want to just tell you something. Here's the reality. It does not matter if it's my family or if it's your family. If it's sin, it's sin. But see, I've learned in life, and I've watched, because I've seen when sin took place in this family that we seem to judge it mighty harshly, you know, and it's awful when it happens over here, but when it happens in our family, we don't think, it ain't. Listen, and we should have compassion on others, and we should try to help those, but don't let us get to the point where we think that it's okay. If God calls it sin, it's sin. Hey man, if it's my children that's involved in it, or my grandchildren, or your children, or our extended family, it matters not that it's in our family, it's still sin. God still is going to do exactly what He said that He was going to do. But if we're not careful, it'll cause us to drift. And we see this just by progression, what one generation, amen, if we just say generation A, the things that generation A will allow, amen, when we get to generation B, they'll allow a little bit more. When we get to generation C, it'll be a little bit more than either A or B. And if you get to generation D, amen, they'll allow more than A, B, C, or D did. Boy, here we look today and we see what ours is allowing and the things that's going on, and it's evil continually. We see in verse number 2 that we read, the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they were fair, and they took them to wives, all which they chose. We see here in A, we see the abuse of marriage. What did they do? It said they saw that they were fair to look upon. And they took them, those that they chose. Looking can get us in trouble. Looking can get us in trouble. We think about Adam and Eve. You know what they did before they ate that fruit? They looked at it. They said, you know what? It looks all right. I believe it'll be okay. And they looked until they took. And we've suffered the consequences for that. They tasted of that fruit, but before they tasted, they just gazed on it. They just looked upon it. David, what did he do? Before he did anything else, he looked and he saw Bathsheba. And instead of turning around and running, amen, he didn't. He gazed on that situation until he sinned with Bathsheba. But how did it start? It started with just a look. With just a look. Here it said that these godly men were brought low because they were looking until they were unequally yoked together. And God help us, when we take, and this world is full of this, we like physical beauty. But I'm going to tell you what, when we start using physical beauty as the only measure by which we choose mates, it's no wonder we're in the mess that we're in. Because see, there's a phrase that we've all heard that says beauty is only skin deep. And it means that physical beauty is not as important as personal intellect and emotional and spiritual qualities. It implies that the external attractiveness has no relation to the goodness or essential quality of one's heart. It may look good on the outside, but amen, on the inside it may be evil and wicked. You see, there can be no valid excuse for an alliance in marriage between the church and the world. And boy, we see this today. I've seen it. I do some research, and I told Pam just last night, we was talking, and I said, well, you know, I didn't watch but just one little 10-minute clip about some of the things that's going on in the church, and it grieves me to my heart, because what do you see? You see an alliance. You see a marriage between the church and the world. Amen. They're not compatible. Amen. They're not compatible with one another. Summer cannot align itself with winter. Genius cannot ally itself with ignorance. And life cannot ally itself to death. They're just different. They're opposite. Neither ought the moral light in the Lord ally itself unto the moral darkness in Satan. But this is exactly what was taking place in Noah's day. And their hearts were led away. They were unequally yoked together. And it just continued to snowball and get worse and worse. Verse 5 tells us that evil prevailed. In verse 5 here, it said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Evil prevailed. Listen, see if this sounds anything like where we live today. In the book of Isaiah, it tells us in chapter 5, in verse number 20, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness and their blossoms shall go up as dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Well, that sounds a lot like where we live. In the world that we live, men taking and changing things, doing it, amen, for gain. But evil prevailed. Men stood in direct opposition to God, just as they do today. And see what's been going on even in that day and that time. And what we see going on today is an attempt by man to dethrone God. I just want to tell you, you cannot dethrone God. Man cannot do it. They can change a lot of things. They can become evil and wicked and bring a lot of things upon themselves, but they will never dethrone God. But in verse 3, we also find that spiritual influence was rejected. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." Spiritual influence was rejected. God help us. We live in a world where the church used to have a much stronger voice than it does now. The spiritual influence of Noah's day was rejected. And in a world filled with such evil, God was still striving with man. God said, "Here, we're going to destroy man." But see, in the midst of judgment, amen, there was mercy. God said, "I'm not going to do it today." But he said, 120 years. He gave them a period of time. "We're not going to destroy and bring judgment today. Amen, Noah's going to get to preach. And men's going to have an opportunity to make things right, to come to God. There's going to be a space and a time for grace if men will change their hearts and trust me." And Noah preached and he preached and he preached. Amen. But guess what? When the preaching was all done, when the last word had been given, when the last invitation, so to speak, had been sent out, the same ones that started was the only ones that got on board. Amen. Noah and his family. And amen. And what's the Bible tell us about that? God shut the door. Yeah. Spiritual influence was rejected. We saw here in our community just 2 or 3 weeks ago, we saw a glimpse. We saw a glimpse of this evil and this rejection of any spiritual influence that came right here in our midst. God help us. God help us, because, amen, it could have been described as pure evil. And so it said in Noah's day that their thoughts, their hearts were on wicked and evilness continually. Romans chapter 1 verse 28 said, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Spiritual influence. Man just won't want to hear. I mean, I've had folks tell me, "I know what you believe. I know, you know what I believe, and there ain't no reconciling the two." God help us. God help us. In verse 5, God also lets us know that God's watching. Because there in verse 5, how it starts out, it said, "And God saw." God saw. Amen. You know, every one of us, I'm sure at some time, it might have been a long time ago, but I'm sure every one of us has tried to, you know, get around the corner and away from mom and daddy and do something that mom and daddy didn't see. We didn't want mom and daddy to see. Maybe we even got around, we didn't want nobody else to see. You know, I heard one man said, you know, he lived in a little place like we live in, little county, rural county, and everybody in the world, you know, knows everybody. And he said, "I'm going somewhere where I don't know nobody and I can do just what I want to do. I don't have to give an account answer to anybody and it won't matter. So he got on a bus and he took him a bus and he rode that thing all the way up to New York City and said when he got off at the bus stop, said the first feller he met was somebody he knew from his childhood and he asked him how he was doing. The moral of the story is this. You can run from everybody, from everything, but amen, you can't get away from the sight of God. Amen. And God was watching. God saw. God didn't merely see the violence which was in the earth, but He saw the moral evil which was in the heart of mankind. You see, what we see and read is we read the news of the day. We read from the papers, the news from the TV, from the internet, wherever we get our news source from, and we read the news of the day. And all the time, God's reading our hearts. We see what's going on in the world, and God see what's going on in our hearts. And listen, if you want to know what's going on in man's hearts, look at the condition of the world. Because see, it matters. That's where the issues of life flow from the heart of man. And God, who is pure, that there's no darkness in Him at all, He sees all and He knows all. And He sees the hearts of man. And just as He did in Noah's day, He said God saw their wickedness, their evil. The world thinks that they're doing things and God don't see, that God don't care. They don't believe God. But listen to what verse number 7 says. It said, and Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. The resolution is now formed. God's going to sweep away man from the face of the earth. Men had been dying. Death had entered into the world, but now, amen, they're fixing to be a great judgment. Men's going to die upon the face of this earth. And this is a standing monument to the wrath of God against a sinful age and a sinful world. When we did go to the ark, I told Pam, I said, take a picture of this, because it was a big picture with the ark and the flood happening and people on the outside, and there was one gentleman up in the top hand corner that he was falling backward into the water, and I said, take a picture of him and send that to me on my phone. And so she did, and she sent it to me, and I sent a picture of it to Brother Billy Cashwell, and I titled it this. I told Brother Billy, I said, I think I found John Smith. Because Brother Billy, I don't know if you've ever heard him preach, but he preached a message about the drowning of John Smith. And the message, just to sum it up in just a few words, was about the man that heard Noah preach and that Noah witnessed to, and that Noah tried to bring him and his family into the ark. But amen, but he would not. And he wouldn't hear, and amen. He didn't make it in. And he was left on the outside, him and his family. Amen. And they didn't make it within the ark, and judgment came. And I told Brother Billy, I said, I think I found John Smith. I think I found that man, because, amen, here God says what He's going to do. The threat was mingled with mercy. God gave them many years to repent, but amen, none repented. None came in. None got inside the ark save Noah and his family. We don't read about this evil, degenerate world seeking to remove this judgment. What we find is they just didn't believe it. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe God. But amen, here's what God cannot do. God cannot lie. We live in a world today, what's the greatest need that they have to believe God? They just simply don't believe God. That's what they didn't do in Noah's day. They did not believe God until what happened? Until the waters came. Our text verse said, and it carried them away. God help us. God help us to be a light and a witness. God help us to be a witness to our friends, to our family in this world. Because how long are we going to be here? I don't know. Some folks is leaving day by day. But one of these days we're all going to leave. And this earth is going to be gone. And then what will it be? But listen, I want to leave you with this thought. Amidst all of this, amidst Noah's preaching for 120 years and the judgment that came and carried away and that God's seeing and the evil that was prevailing upon the earth and the distortion of all things and all the abuses that was going on, it tells us in verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. This morning is still the morning to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you have a need this morning, if you have a need while we sing, I pray that you come this morning.